Morrow City. Good to be here this morning. Good to come worship the Lord. And as you can tell, this is not the Reverend Byron Jones standing here talking to you. It's Bill Price. So glad to have you with us this morning. God bless each one of you. It's good to be here. Brother Booney took some time off, a little V time. Everybody enjoys a little vacation from time to time. And he well deserves that. Scripture this morning is taken from the book of John, the 14th chapter, start that 16th verse. Now John, of course, as I tell those children, that's in the New Testament. It's the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We'll be looking at that 14th chapter and looking with the 16th verse this morning. Reading there from John 14, 16 through 18, there the scripture reads, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." You know, there are times when one hears a message concerning the Holy Spirit, and in his mind he doesn't possess a clear concept of just what the Holy Spirit is. Sermons concerning God the Father are understood, for we learn from the time we are young children in Sunday school, God created the world. And it is God who determines the destinies of men, as well as the destinies of nations. He is the heavenly Father of Jesus Christ. When we hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're familiar with him. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin in the Bethlehem manger. He lived in Nazareth, he preached, he taught, and he healed others. Jesus gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He made the lame to walk. He even called the dead back to life. His earthly ministry lasted 3 years. It was Jesus Christ who gave his life on the cross of Calvary in order that he might be able to pay the required price for our salvation. And on the third day, following his crucifixion, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. The scripture tells us it was 40 days later he ascended into the kingdom of heaven. And today he sits at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for the saints. One day he's coming back to receive us unto himself. But who exactly is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He is co-equal with God the Father, God the Son. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within your heart when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The scripture tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, that 16th verse, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask the Father, and he will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And we know that it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. That was a day of power. It was a day of glory. The Holy Spirit filled the disciples of Christ with holy power. He calls them to speak in other languages in order that various people from varying nationalities would be able to understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ as it was preached. And the scripture reveals unto us that on that day, about 3,000 people were saved. Today, it's the Holy Spirit who lives in the heart of every born-again believer. The Holy Spirit convicts men of sin. Prior to our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, each one of us were on the road to hell, though we didn't necessarily know it. Then, in some manner, we became aware of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of eternal life and of an eternity in hell became plain to us. We were made to see ourselves as lost sinners and became convicted of our sinfulness. We came to realize our need of a Savior. And when the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior presented itself, we seized the moment. We unashamedly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, publicly announced our decision, and gladly followed our Savior in believer's baptism. Following that time, we came to realize that we could have a peace and comfort that we had never known before. Our love for others became more and more evident to us. It was the Holy Spirit that convicted you of your sinfulness and made you come to realize your need of a Savior. Today, provided you are a child of God, just as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. This morning, as we go to the Word of God, may each one of us come to realize exactly how the Holy Spirit works within our lives upon this earth. We find in the scripture that a man named Nicodemus went to see Jesus under the cover of darkness. In his heart, Nicodemus was hungry for that which only Christ could provide. Nicodemus, he sought hope and satisfaction for his life as well as for the life to come. Jesus Christ said to him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." He went on to say, the Holy Spirit is the agent in one's salvation experience. In the book of John, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse, there the scripture reads, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Though every man enters into the world through a physical birth, that is not enough. He needs a spiritual birth as well. And he obtains that spiritual birth through the working of the Holy Spirit. When, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, mankind is convicted of his sinfulness and comes to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, it's then that he's born again. A new nature is given to him. Unfortunately, however, he still retains that old carnal nature. These two natures are in constant warfare. But the believer has the Holy Spirit to help him when temptations arrive. The greatest need of every man is to be born again. That is, to be reborn of the Spirit. A man is born again when he repents of his sin and accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. All of this is brought about by the Holy Spirit. It's not of ourselves. Our conviction, our repentance, our faith are produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not an automatic thing. One doesn't just stand aside and declare, "I'm not going to do anything. I'm simply going to let the Holy Spirit save me if he wants to." But rather, It's necessary that you permit the Holy Spirit to work. You must surrender your will to His will. It's then that He can work within you and bring about your salvation. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've then been born again, and you can't be unborn. I am the earthly father of six children. My wife bore those children. I'll always be their father, regardless of their actions. And in the same manner, once you are born of the Spirit, you will always be God's child. You may go astray, you may displease Him, but you are still His child because you've been born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the power to save and the power to keep one once they have been saved. Salvation is a completed process. The Holy Spirit begins and completes His work in us. Jesus Christ said if we came to Him, He would not drive us out. He said no man would be able to snatch us out of His Father's hand. And the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us safe from the time we are saved by the grace of God until that precious day when our blessed Savior calls us home to glory. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse, there the scripture reads, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Once the work of salvation has taken place in our lives, that is, once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sanctified. And sanctification simply means being joined together with God. Once a person is joined together with his Heavenly Father, he has been set apart from the world for a purpose. He is to serve God and glorify God forever. Should such a person turn his back upon his Heavenly Father and return to a life of sin, not only does he dishonor God, he dishonors himself as well. Every Christian is set apart for the glory of his Heavenly Father. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th verse, there the scripture reads, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Since your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is your responsibility to keep your body holy. Allow nothing to touch your body which would render you unclean before your Heavenly Father. Though at one time you were serving Satan, allowing him to rule your heart and your life, allowing him to cause you to live in complete misery, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are converted. You have now been set apart for a new purpose. Old things must be thrown out, and your service to God must be foremost in your life." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come." Your life is altogether different after you have been genuinely converted, after you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Another phase of your life that begins to grow when you accept Jesus Christ is that of grace. And this is also the work of the Holy Spirit. When you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart, it causes you to grow in grace and you become a stronger Christian as the days go by. You will possess that desire to read the Bible, to pray, to go to church, simply to be in the presence of and have fellowship with other Christians. You will desire to serve the Lord in any capacity that He might be able to use you. The Holy Spirit uses all of these things to nurture your spiritual growth. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, when they're born of the Spirit and become a child of God, it is expected that they are going to grow spiritually. But as the years go by and one experiences no spiritual growth in his life, as he bears no fruits of the Spirit and he fails to serve God, surely it causes God to grieve, for his desire is for his children to grow spiritually. Yet there are some Christians who are more spiritually active for God when they first accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior than they are at any other time. There are those who get out of communion with God. They leave his service. They forget his church. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and sets Christians aside for God's service. It's a real pity that there are those who do choose to walk away and allow Satan to dupe them into a life of misery once again. You stay close to Christ and you will grow in grace. You will be a joy to God and a blessing to others as well as to yourself. Once you accept Jesus Christ, your salvation is confirmed in heaven. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 30th verse, there the scripture reads, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, from whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." When the President of the United States signs a bill that's been passed by Congress, the Secretary of State places the official seal upon that document, and it becomes a law. It's then that the whole authority of the United States stands behind it. When a person comes to Christ, God saves that soul. The Holy Spirit sets his seal upon that soul. And from that time on, no power in heaven or earth can break that seal. The scripture tells us in the book of John, the 10th chapter, verses 28 and 29, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Our nation has billions of dollars worth of gold in Fort Knox. This treasure is encased in a building of steel and iron. It's guarded by a number of soldiers, and we say this gold is safe. But it's not nearly as safe as one who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That soul, sealed by the Spirit, is safe for all the countless ages of eternity. Not only does the Holy Spirit confirm our salvation in heaven, he also confirms it in our hearts. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 16th verse, there the scripture reads, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." You can know if you are saved, for the scripture assures us the Holy Spirit within us witnesses with us that we are God's children. This is something we simply can't explain to others. It must be experienced within one's own heart. It is the Holy Spirit testifying to our soul, you are mine. I bought you on the cross. When you trusted me, you passed from death to life, and you'll never come into condemnation. Romans 8, 14 and 15, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. When one becomes a Christian, he no longer is under bondage. He does not live in fear. He's been adopted into a great family, the family of God. And he then calls God Father. It's also the work of the Holy Spirit to comfort the believer in the time of trouble. Much like a mother comforts her child. Do you remember when you were little and your mother comforted you, held you, and kissed you, and loved you, and you felt so safe and secure at that time? The scripture tells us in the book of John, the 14th chapter, the 16th verse, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Isaiah 66, 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. The Holy Spirit, upon entering the heart of a Christian, comes to abide forever. When sorrows come, he softly assures us, do not be afraid. I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll cause all things to work for your good. When a loved one passes from this world, we have the full assurance that everything is all right. We are able to have complete assurance because of the comforting power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He takes the things of Christ and brings them to our minds, comforting us in those times of sorrow. As Christians, we have the privilege of being able to pray to our Heavenly Father anytime we desire. However, everyone has from time to time felt their prayer was incomplete. You weren't able to express in words that which you felt in your heart. The Lord tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit knows what is best for us and prays for us according to the will of God. The scripture tells us that these prayers are groans that words cannot express. Simply put, feelings that can't be expressed by words. We are reminded that we can pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the disciples. They had everything to prepare them for service. Yet, they were not ready to serve. They had Calvary. They had the resurrection. They had the Great Commission. And they had the promise. They were not ready for service, however, until the Holy Spirit came. We are to pray for the Holy Spirit to completely saturate us in order that we might go out for our Lord. But he can't do it if our lives are filled with sin and self. There are many people with wonderful talents, but they're not being used of God. It's because all they do is for self-glorification and not for the glory of God. We need to empty our hearts of sin and self and pray for the complete infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also makes clear to the child of God that which is contained in the Holy Scriptures. Many times, one who is without Christ is unable to understand completely the written Word of God. The reason for this is such a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit guiding his understanding. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 12, the Word of God reads, "But God has revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." The Bible is full of promises from our Lord. Its pages contain words of beauty as well as mysteries. And as a person who does not have a relationship with God opens the pages of the Bible to read it, many times he's unable to grasp that which the Scripture speaks of. When one accepts Jesus Christ, however, and the Holy Spirit moves into his heart, the beauties and the mysteries of the Bible will be revealed. Not only does the Holy Spirit reveal unto the child of God the true contents of the Scripture, it also guides him along the pathways of life. You come to a crossroad in your life. Which way should I go? Which would be the best choice? Many times, if you rely upon your own wisdom, you'll make the wrong decision. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide us. He knows infinitely better than we that which is best, and we need to follow his guidance. The Scripture tells us in James, the first chapter and the fifth verse, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." And in Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." There are two pathways that lead a believer from earth to heaven. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse tells us, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that lives in you." You may leave this earth and enter into the kingdom of heaven through the avenue of death. A person who does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior has every right to fear death, for he doesn't know what is coming. He does know, however, he's not ready. The Christian, on the other hand, has no fear of death. For the child of God, death is simply a transformation from a sinful earth to the glories of heaven. When a Christian dies, the Holy Spirit takes his soul home to be with Christ. This is according to the teachings of the New Testament. By human tradition, the body is then buried. But when our Lord comes to call his own from this earth, the Holy Spirit will raise the body. The soul and the body shall then be joined together to be forever with the Lord. But suppose the Lord comes while we're still living. Then the Holy Spirit will raise up every Christian in the world. He'll change them into the likeness of Christ and take them to heaven. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." So whether we go to heaven through death or through the rapture, it'll be the Holy Spirit that accompanies us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus conquered death and today sits at the right hand of God the Father. All who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, though they may die prior to Jesus coming to call his children, shall follow him into eternal life. Because he lives, we shall live also. The Holy Spirit today abides within the heart of each one of God's children upon this earth. Not one of us know how much time we have left on this earth. We are all walking toward the sunrise of eternal glory. After a while, our bodies will give out and we'll lay them aside. Then, the Holy Spirit will take us by the hand and lead us into the presence of our precious Heavenly Father. Soon, all the wonders of heaven will burst upon our sight. Do you this morning know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you to him? The scripture tells us upon our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is when we humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father, repent of our sins, that is truly sorrowful for the sins you have committed on this earth, and you then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins that very instant shall be removed from you as far as the east is from the west and remembered no more. Your body becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Your name is entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. A home is prepared for you in the kingdom of heaven. And when your walk on this earth is complete, you shall join your Heavenly Father in his heavenly kingdom throughout the endless ages of eternity. You make the decision. It's up to you. The Holy Spirit today stands this moment and knocks on the door of your heart, begging to be let in. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity. We're about to sing our hymn of invitation. I'll be here at the front to receive you. May his holy, precious name be glorified completely by your decision. Let us pray. Our dear, most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your precious, holy name. Lord, we're grateful for the love that you have for us. Grateful, Lord, that one day, Lord, we as your children will join you in your heavenly kingdom. And Lord, our prayer being now, if there's one here among us that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, you would touch their heart. May they see their need of salvation. Your holy, precious name be glorified. We love you, our desire is to serve you, to be in your precious will. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen.